I be playing. Hello and welcome to Homecoming Edition of Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone. I'm Andrew Deere, Coordinator of Facility Operations with University Recreation, and with me, as always, are my co-hosts, Dr. Adam Sterrett, Assistant Vice President of Student Life, and Mark Mayfield, Associate Director of Student Media. Well, fellas, it's week 7 of the college football season. Most especially, it's a big day here on campus with the homecoming parade set for 1 o'clock in Alabama taking on Arkansas at Bryant-Denny Stadium beginning at 6:15 this evening. Really exciting 6:15 kickoff. We've also got a great guest today, my supervisor, Andre Love, Executive Director of University Recreation. Really excited to have you in here.
Whatever that guy's name is.
Yeah, whatever that guy's name is. Andre will talk some football with us. He'll make some fearless picks. We'll even sneak a special pick in at the end for him. We'll have him on here in a few minutes. But first, Adam and Mark, the campus is buzzing, as always, with Arkansas in town, Brett Bielema and his bunch. What are your initial thoughts? What are you all looking for this week? Just give it all to me right this second.
It's a beautiful weekend in Tuscaloosa, right? It's in the 80s, sunny, a little cool in the morning.
It's a little warm for me, but you
know
what? It
is warm. We're starting to tease fall here in T-Town just a little bit. It looks like it'll be a little cooler next week, but this week, got a beautiful sunny day, 6:15 kickoff. By the second half, it should be glorious and cool and breezy in the stadium. Tons of people on campus for homecoming, lots of alums and parents and families in town. Campus started buzzing Tuesday, Wednesday of the week, really, and so it's been a crazy week around here. Tons of people around campus. Love having a home game in such a great environment. Beautiful weekend here. I don't know a place I'd rather be, Andrew. What about you?
I can't name a place I'd rather be either. You go past the sorority houses, and they've got the pomping outside.
It's always
fun to see what they've got
going
on.
The windows are painted in town,
right.
Downtown.
We've had some
town crimson.
We've had some tournaments in the rec center, which has been really exciting.
Yeah, dodgeball and basketball
dodgeball
this week,
and
right?
Absolutely. We've had some dance practice.
Yeah, we had choreography practice.
Yeah, it's been a ton of fun. We're busy, but we're excited, and like you said, no place we'd rather be.
Great pep rally and bonfire Friday night on the quad, and tons of people.
I'm excited about the step show.
Yep, tons of people already tailgating, and it's going to be a great weekend here against Arkansas, and a great opponent for homecoming as well, because an SEC matchup, SEC West, and we played them a couple years ago on homecoming maybe as well, I think.
We did. Sometime in the last few years.
Actually
2 years ago we did.
So it's not a really tough team like Troy, but it's a challenging game for us here on homecoming.
Yeah. Tough team like Troy,
Thank you, somebody, for picking up on that little joke there.
South Alabama took them down.
I was about to say, South Alabama got them a victory.
I know.
I guess that means South Alabama's better than LSU, right?
Through the transitive property of college football,
you're absolutely right.
That's how we used to decide these things.
We are officially in the transitive property of the season.
Exactly.
Where LSU is worse than South Alabama.
Right?
Yeah.
Right.
I think transit property works perfectly. I just think, that should decide the national champion.
Absolutely.
But, homecoming's fantastic. It is funny. Most people, we'll get into this later in terms of how we view this game, but most people are really excited and aren't too worried about whether Bama's going to win the football game.
It's true.
Which is a little scary.
Yep, that's the downside of homecoming sometimes, right?
Yeah. But like you said, Adam, it's an SEC opponent.
Yep.
Arkansas, it's a little unpredictable. And to have them for homecoming, years ago, Bama would just have almost an FCS team or something for homecoming. And those days are over.
I mean,
now the way homecoming comes, it's always an SEC team. And it's a tough game.
Yeah, we're in the heart of our schedule at this point, our conference schedule. And if you look at certainly the team shouldn't do this, but we can. If you look at the next few weeks, we get Arkansas at home, we get a Tennessee team coming into here. I think they're still technically a football team.
And they are.
Then we get fall break, and then we've got LSU, Mississippi State, and then pretty soon we're at the Iron Bowl. And so we've got a heavy slate coming up here, really kicking off with Arkansas here at home.
We do, and we can get into this a little bit later. But I think at the beginning of the season, looking at the home schedule was really, really exciting, the teams that are coming in. Obviously we don't have the Iron Bowl this year, but looking at Tennessee and LSU, Arkansas, but now after a few weeks, it's kind of – those teams aren't near as good as kind of we expected. And so the home games kind of – I guess the quality went down, or they seem to be going down in the future.
Schedule looks a little different now than it
looks very different, and it's not near as exciting as we thought. But – you know, like you said, when Tennessee and LSU come in here, we really never know what's going
to
happen.
Well, and once again, if the team looks at it the way we're doing it, then that's how you run into trouble. That's how you lose to a team that you shouldn't. And so not beating ourselves this week certainly would be key. And if you look at last week with Texas A&M, I think all of us picked a bigger win than that. Yeah. And that's a tough road game, no matter how strong they're playing. And I agree with Coach Saban, getting out of there with a win is the goal. And doing it by 30 points or 60 points or whatever is not – not the goal whatsoever.
And I think we slept on Texas A&M a little bit, rightfully so because of their past history. But they played, obviously, as we saw, they played Alabama very well. That team could easily be, 5-1, 4-1 right now, instead of 4-2. So
I think what we might have failed, at least I did, I know, that just failed to think about is, you know, you got 100,000 fans there. You got a football team that's got some great players on it. I mean, they've been erratic a little bit, but overall, I mean, that was a team. What, they were 4-1. They should have won that.
Should have been 5-0.
They blew that team out the first half. They really didn't finish, obviously.
Right.
And but you look back at it and you go, it's a pretty good football team Bama played at their home place with 100,000 people, and that's tough. It's a tough environment.
Yep, I agree.
Right. And you can't downplay how important that will be for Bama going forward, playing in that environment against a team that has athletes. I swear Christian Kirk's been there since 1978. Right. So they've got a bunch of great players at A&M, and I definitely didn't give them the credit that they deserve after that game on Saturday.
No, and I think your point is great about this team needing to go and play some challenging opponents and getting some. You know, this gives Coach Saban something to bark at him about this week, too.
And
you know, winning it's a one-possession game that they won. And so giving the team the opportunity to kind of review where they're at and look to moving forward against some strong opponents. We can't look at Tennessee as a down Tennessee. We've got to look at Tennessee as a great team. We've got to look at Mississippi State coming in or going into Starkville. We've got to look at those teams as they're playing top five teams and play that way and not play down to opponents. And so I think that'll be key to coming off of last week.
Right. A couple other big games around today. You know?
Yeah, there's a lot of great.
Some tough picks for us. I know that. That Auburn at LSU game this afternoon is going to be interesting. That's hard for me to pick.
Yeah, I agree. The game last week with LSU and Florida was interesting. Who knows what's going on with either of these teams. And Auburn certainly not having the greatest week as far as their athletic program going. That's a real interesting pick.
Absolutely. So, talking about the Florida LSU game last week, was that not one of the ugliest games you guys have ever seen in your
entire life? That was ugly. The only thing that may be uglier is the uniforms the Gators are wearing this week. Have you seen the snake uniforms?
Adam, take a few seconds to just trash those uniforms.
A few seconds is not enough. We only have an hour for the show, and the takeaway breaks. It's like 44 minutes or something. I can't even stomach. Have you seen the UCF Knights uniforms?
I have not, no.
So the UCF Knights uniforms are space-themed, and so they have, like, really constellations
really cool?
and stuff.
Really?
They're really, really cool.
Wow.
About as cool as you can get, and if you compare that to the Gators uniforms, it's really just something.
When I saw those uniforms, I thought of Adam's description of the lizards. They're actually going to live up to the lizards this week.
They're playing right into your hand.
You decide if you can't beat them, join them.
Yeah. Also, speaking of the teams in Florida, give us the State of the Union on Florida State.
That's a good question. So
just throwing you under the bus.
I know. Here. I had friends from Tallahassee in this weekend and this past weekend. We watched the game together, and I think Florida State's got two or three more losses on their schedule at least. I think I said that to you all this week via email. I think that they're going to have a few more losses, and I think if their D coordinator lasts the season, I'll be shocked. But yeah, I think there's turmoil there, and a lot of people are. Calling for coaches' heads at this point.
And watching that defense fly around against Alabama at the beginning of the season, it's so hard to believe that they've gotten
the
to where they are.
The point I've said all year is Francois did not play on the defense.
We lost Francois,
but the defense is full of sophomores, juniors, and seniors who have played before.
Right.
And they have not performed under Charles Kelly in the way that they did under my boy Stoopsie or Pruitt. And so as Mark likes to troll message boards of other teams, let me tell you, Warchant. Yeah, Warchant.com is brutal right now.
Let me tell you, it's bad.
But it's a long season.
I got to get over there and check that one out.
Yeah, it's something.
Gotcha. All right, that's what's happening around the nation today. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back to introduce Andre Love. We're going to interview him, talk to him, see what's going on with University of Recreation. Really excited to have him in the studio. So we will be back. You're listening to Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone.
We're the Ballot Assembly, and you're listening to 90.7 The Capstone.
Welcome back to Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone. It is a real pleasure to have Andre Love with us today. Andre is Executive Director of University Recreation, and sooner or later, I think Andre sees just about all of the 38,000 students on campus who make their way to the rec center. Anyway, Andre, great. Thanks for joining us today.
Hey, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me again on the show. It's been 2 years. I was wondering if I did something wrong the last time I was here. Was my pick just so outstanding?
That, yeah, see, that's
I
the thing. We've got to take some time off.
I believe Dr. Hood said the same thing last week, right?
Right, right. Yeah. We're an acquired taste. Sometimes taking some time away will help you out.
Yeah, that's great. Homecoming for you, I would assume the place is rocking and rolling this morning and all that as well, right?
Very busy, yeah. Very busy, absolutely. I heard you guys talk a little earlier about some of the homecoming events that have happened at the rec center, and so on. Absolutely, on the other night as I was leaving, I saw they were preparing for the dodgeball tournament. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure who won it, but we had quite of droves of people coming in, and so it's always great to have that excitement and buzz in the rec center. So we kind of look forward to homecoming every year. It's one of those events where they utilize our space. It's not necessarily that we are programming it for them or planning it for them, but we also help them out, and we look forward to having it. Was a little disappointed not to see the Powder Puff football come back this year.
Yeah, you're right. I forgot about that. Rec is a huge partner for us in homecoming. One of our offices works with homecoming, and Rec's a big partner, especially as we've tried to expand homecoming to serve as many students as possible and get opportunities for many, many students to be involved in homecoming. And I think UREC is one of the ways that we've done that, because UREC is one of those areas on campus that doesn't serve just one of the student populations. It serves all 38,000, like Mark was saying. And so getting students involved in dodgeball and basketball and football in the past, it's been a way for us to really involve the entire student body in homecoming. So I know REC's been a huge part of that. People that may not want to decorate pomp or may not go into the parade or may not see some of the other events as being for them. Certainly some of the things we do with Andre's team and REC has been a huge, huge help in involving a ton more students in our homecoming festivities.
Yeah.
And absolutely, sometimes it feels like all 38,000 were in the REC center
at one time.
Right?
Exactly.
Especially last night at 5:15 p.m.
Right, right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Y'all have opened for extended hours the WIT Student Activity Center this year, right?
That's right. We actually, as of October 2nd, Monday, October 2nd, we now open the student the WIT Center, Robert E. WIT Center.
We've changed the names a couple times on it. Yeah.
Names changed a few times here. But, yeah, we were fortunate enough. We had some great friends in student government that were able to secure some funding for us and help us get funding to open that facility up at 7 a.m. Monday through Friday now. So it's a switch for us, and it's a great opportunity to get more people in, get more folks involved that are looking for ways to that early morning workout to help with their wellness and their fitness.
A great way that you all have reacted to student demands and student desires on campus and being able to serve our students in a way that we weren't serving last couple of years. So I think that's fantastic.
Absolutely. We're absolutely here for them. They're always a priority for us. And so we listen when they talk. And I always said that, you know, on a university campus, students always have the loudest voice.
Mm-hmm.
They were absolutely instrumental in us being able to open that facility earlier. When we opened it, 4 years ago, no, Andrew?
Mm-hmm.
We opened it 4 years ago. We wanted to have hours that were similar to the Student Recreation Center, mm-hmm. on the SRC, but it just didn't lend itself to be able to open that early. So we're excited about having this opportunity to open the facility early again. So
that's great. That's great. Well, hey, also, you know, I know you officiate high school football. You've done that for several years.
That's
and
right.
Last night also out there. And but how's that going? And you know, you got to be really busy because of your day job, obviously. And then on and all that entails with officiating. And you've been doing this for a lot of years, right?
Well, Mark, at some point I'm going to learn to say no.
Right.
And so, yeah, it's been exciting. It's been an exciting season. With all the things that are going on at REC, but also, like you said, high school football, I just enjoy it. It's a great opportunity for me to go out and stay engaged with the sport that I love, and absolutely helps me with my fitness level as well. So it's a labor of love. It's you know, it's nothing more exciting than have a coach chew you out for 48 minutes.
I bet. Yeah, that's crazy.
Just can't get enough, can you?
Can't get enough of it.
And then when the coach isn't doing it, the parents in the stands are doing it, right?
You're right. You're right. You know, Alabama High School has taken great steps and great measures to emphasize sportsmanship. And so we emphasize that with the players and coaches before the game. And a lot of the coaches, I say that jokingly about coaches chewing you out for 48 minutes. You know, it's about building a rapport with coaches. It's just like any aspect of your life. You know, if you can communicate well with them, most of the time they just have questions. They want to know what's going on. Yeah. So keeping them engaged and keeping them involved with the game, being able to get them good information, absolutely can diffuse some of those situations. So
that's correct. We've talked on the show before about with the huge amount of Friday night college football games now, and they're moving more and more towards power conferences on Friday nights, and how that impacts high school football, which traditionally owned Friday evenings. As somebody who's been involved with high school football for a long time, do you see excitement around that sport waning because of the competing college games on Friday nights, or is it just being able to communicate that excitement around high school football out to people?
Well, I've been fortunate enough now to have lived in, I think, five different states and officiated football in three of those. And I can tell you this, Friday nights is still high school football night. And there's an excitement and a buzz that centers around some of these smaller towns and smaller communities where they're living for Friday night and for high school football. It's great to go to some of these small towns and you see some of those living legends that were there, some of those guys that have gone on and played, had very successful careers in college football and then gone on to the NFL and were successful there. And they come back and they're on the sidelines and they're cheering on folks. Some of them have grandkids that are now playing in those games. So, which says a little bit about my age when I started looking at guys that I watched on Sunday. Right. And have grandkids playing high school football now. So
yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah, it is. It's such a great thing for communities and for the atmosphere and for, you know, the obviously the football is pretty good too, right?
Absolutely, you know, absolutely.
These players are getting really good.
You know, with my travels, I tell everyone, you know, I see parts of the states that I'd never get to see if it wasn't for high school football. There are some of these towns that I probably would have never ventured to. And we absolutely, the camaraderie that I have with my fellow officials is what makes it special for me, what keeps me coming out year after year. And so those guys have helped make the game special for me, and we have a bond that's, you know, so there's three teams usually out there on that field. It's the home team, the visiting team, and then you got the officials. So.
That's great. Yeah. Now, do you work with a different crew each week, or you all stay together as a crew, or do you work with different people each week?
For the most part, we mix it up a little bit. There's probably three or four guys that I work with on a regular basis. You know, we typically are assigned games together throughout the season. We like to say there are no set crews, but obviously, there's some guys that I work with more often than I do others. So
yeah,
it's just great. It's great, great camaraderie.
So. Andre, you are a Southern Miss grad, being a fellow Conference USA grad at West Kentucky University. I just wanted to, you know, let our audience know that you're a Southern Miss guy. Talk to us about Southern Miss football. You know, what's going on this year with them? How they're doing?
Hey, you know,
you got any updates for us?
That's right. You know, well, I wish I had some insight, Andrew. You know, Conference USA football has been exciting. We talked about, you know, Adam mentioned those Friday night games. You know, Conference USA is one of those first conferences to move to those Thursday night games because they figured they couldn't compete with Saturday TV market.
Absolutely.
So it's been kind of exciting to see that. And I was there during the glory years with Southern Miss football. I saw some great teams there with some great players. You know, a lot of those guys went to the NFL, like, you know, Todd Pinkston and Cedric Scott and it was with Adelius Thomas, who played with the Ravens. Mm-hmm. I think he was able to get a championship ring his first year in the league there with them. You know, Southern Miss football, I was there a few months ago, not for a game, but was there and got a chance to do a tour of the stadium, and the Rock has definitely come a long ways from when I was there as a student. So, but it's great atmosphere. I hope you guys at some point in your careers and at some point in your football lives, you get a chance to absolutely be a part of atmosphere like you get at the Rock down there at Southern Miss.
All right. Well, here's the deal.
Let's all go one day.
I bring that up because I have a lot of friends that went to Southern Miss. You went to Southern Miss. I'm a West Kentucky guy. I'd love for y'all to host the Conference USA Championship and West Kentucky come in there and get a victory. But I'm not so sure that's going to happen this year.
Well,
so
you know, one of my great mentors and friends who was at Southern Miss when I was there as a student is now the recreation director at Western Kentucky.
Yeah.
So Steve Big Daddy Ray.
That's
is
my
what
guy.
They call him. I said I'd never called him Big Daddy. I just called him Big Daddy on the radio here. So, but Steve Ray is absolutely one of those guys at Southern Miss that's a legend there and had went on to Western Kentucky. He's doing great things there. So we absolutely appreciate that. And the Alumni Association absolutely loves him as well.
Yeah.
Once you say it on college radio, there's no taking it back, Andre. It's out there in the world.
That Washington market.
Hey. That's how things go viral these days. It's college radio.
Yeah, no doubt. That's Skybox for you right now. Hey, look, we're going to take a quick break, but Andre's graciously agreed to hang in here with us and make some fearless game picks around the country in college football. So we'll be right back. You're listening to Skybox on 90.7, the Capstone.
Hey, I'm Paul Feinbaum, my favorite station in the world, 90.7, the Capstone.
Welcome back to Skybox on 90.7, the Capstone. We've been talking to Andre Love, Executive Director of University Recreation, here today, and he's agreed to make some fearless picks with us. Andre, I know that you have a secret love for Florida State Seminole football.
This is true.
You've got a soft spot for them.
So I did not know that.
See? Wow. I'm dropping knowledge on Andrew.
There we go.
I know some of this stuff here. So we're going to start off with this morning's game, kicking off here in a little bit. The just the battered Florida State Seminoles going to Duke after a couple recent losses here. Do you think Florida State can take a win out of the Raleigh-Durham area here this morning?
You know what? It pains me to say this, and Florida State being 1-3 and Duke being 4-2
right
in this game. You know, we had a little off-air conversation about Francois not being on the defense.
Right. He doesn't play D-back, apparently.
Doesn't play D-back.
Nope.
That's right. So he's not on defense.
He's not on the offensive line either, which is interesting. He's behind the line. So
that's right.
That line in front of him actually should still be there, Andre.
Absolutely. I'd never pick Duke for anything. Florida State all the way.
It's not a basketball game. Yeah, I think it's tough, though. You had to think about it for a second,
absolutely,
right? And that's shameful. South Carolina at Tennessee. This is, I think, strangely one of the toughest picks of the day, even though it's just going to be a slug of a game.
A stinker.
It is a stinker, right, but, you know, it's on TV. We'll watch it. South Carolina at Tennessee.
What time's that kickoff?
So that's in a few minutes. Yeah, that's coming soon.
So let's see. I'm going to go with South Carolina on this one. There's 4-2, 3-2. I just think their defense is going to show up in the whole Tennessee there. So we know Tennessee, we watched them choke a few weeks ago down in Florida.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah, it's not looking.
Y'all can't see this on the air, but he's staring directly into Andrew Deere's eyes as he talks about choking. It was kind of a utilization of the force almost. Of I think Andrew started choking here in the studio when he said the word.
The Vols, they.
I know. Andrew's had a tough role
around. Hey, Andrew and I are in similar sad places.
Right. No doubt.
So let's stay in the SEC for one more game here. This is a 2:30 kickoff. We've got Auburn at LSU. So Auburn still technically has an athletics program.
Correct.
And they're going to LSU, who I think has not quit on the season. They're actually playing games still.
Yep.
And so Auburn at LSU, this is a big game. Two opponents that we've got coming up. What do you got here? This is 2:30, not after dark here in LSU, but
Well, guys, LSU's in trouble.
Yeah.
I got to go with Auburn on this pick.
All right.
I think LSU, and hopefully, well, we know Coach will have a job down there because it costs too much to buy.
So much.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Absolutely.
Yep. Great. So we got 2:30, a little ACC matchup. We have Georgia Tech at Miami. Good guy Mark Richt taking on the triple option. Andre, what are your thoughts, and what's your pick for that game?
And, you know, it's great to see Mark Richt doing great down there in Miami. Mm-hmm. I'm going with the U on this one.
All right, there we go.
I like that a lot. Still with the 2:30 slot, we have Oklahoma at Texas, the Red River rivalry, the battle for that big giant golden hat.
That's right.
What do you think? What do you think about
that? Really,
that
what it is? A golden hat?
It's a golden cowboy hat.
Yeah, there we go.
All right, golden cowboy hat.
We need to tweet out the picture of Charlie Strong in that golden cowboy hat. It's hilarious.
Again, you know, Texas has been one of those traditional programs that's been strong over the years, but of recent we've seen a kind of decline in that program. I just think they're struggling down there. I think Oklahoma bounces back. I don't see them losing two games at this point in the season. So I'm picking Oklahoma here.
There you go. Big matchup in the SEC at 2:30. We have Vanderbilt at Ole Miss. Mm-hmm. Battle of the Titans here. What are your thoughts on that game?
You know, this is actually looking at this is a tough game to kind of pick.
It is. Yeah. I jokingly say that, but
I mean, it's going to be a tough game to watch, but it's a tough game to pick as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah, I think Ole Miss is going to be too much for him there at home in Oxford there. So I picked Ole Miss. I actually got Vandy circled on my sheet, but I just switched. I kind of flip-flopped here.
I think
that's a fearless move.
It is. On the road matters here, right? Yeah, so I think Vandy at home maybe is a different pick. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
a good
point.
I think the fans are going to show up in Oxford today, and we'll definitely have a great game or a good game. I think they bounce back and they're able to overcome Vanderbilt.
Yeah, their football team's not good, but they can still throw a tailgate.
Frankly, what else is there to do in Oxford on a Saturday?
Nothing.
Really, what are you going to do?
At the Grove. That's tailgate.
Go to Sonic and hang out
right there.
Yeah. Hey. Yeah. Happy hour isn't until 5 o'clock at Sonic. So.
And the ghost of William Faulkner has a little bourbon out there too.
That's right. There you go.
Got some already before the game.
Moving to 6 p.m., we've got an interesting East-West SEC matchup here. We have Texas A&M at Florida on ESPN2. What are your thoughts on that one?
Well, you know, I've got someone down there that's got a little bit of an insight for me.
My
favorite Gator, one of our former employees,
yep.
Jenna Nollis, is down there. And so she told me that Florida's going to be ready for TAMU this week. So.
Well. Hey, now, we're not supposed to bring intel into this.
No.
Hey, Andre, hey.
If you're doing actual research on
it. I'm a guest picker, you know.
Shout-outs to Jenna. She's the one who told us about – she's the one who sent me the jerseys originally, and she is beside herself because she's a big Gator, big Nike fan, and Nike's just – they're getting killed on this one.
Awful.
So,
it's awful.
That's good intel, though. Yeah.
Andre's bringing the sauce.
Hey, you now know why we didn't invite you back last year, though,
that's
too,
right? I'm starting to figure it out.
You can't show us up.
Hey, at least one of us is prepared.
Yeah, don't do research. It's kind of rude.
Yeah, no doubt.
What do you got, Andrew?
We've got 9:30, Boise State at San Diego State. I'm excited about this one. Andre, are you as excited as I am?
Man, I really am. You know, this is kind of, you know, this is some excitement in football, a little shakeup there. Who would have thought at this point that San Diego State would be 6-0?
Yeah, I know.
This one of those shockers. Didn't expect that to happen during the season. I think they seem to be doing fairly well, fairly decent. Got a great quarterback there, and I think San Diego State pulls off the win over Boise.
All right. I think we're going to go Pac-12 after dark, Mark. What do you think?
Well, we're going to, you know, we got a pretty big game again there. Oregon at Stanford, which has a big impact on the Pac-12, and a pretty good game for after dark. First of all, will you guys be watching this? Andre, are you going to watch? Well, no, we got well, Bama game will be over by then, no?
We'll catch the second half of this game, yeah.
Yeah, anyway, but I think that's a tough pick. I think Oregon Stanford's a tough pick.
Well, both 4-2 and one of those late games, and – As we've heard a few weeks ago, apparently the one on the East Coast watches those late games out on the West Coast, right?
That's
so
tough.
I'm going to go here. I think I'm going to go with Stanford on this one. I like the at Stanford. Kind of like Stanford. I think this will be a good matchup in terms of the Pac-12.
Ducks versus Tree.
I go all Tree.
It's tough to bet against David Shaw in these situations. I continue to think he's one of a top 15, top 10 coach in college football, and what he's done at Stanford continues to be impressive.
They're having
a sneaky good season
in the Pac-12,
right.
Especially as USC and UCLA kind of stumble a little bit.
Right, and I think any team in the Pac-12 has a chance to lose at any time, and so maybe it's their year.
Yeah, I think you could say that about any team in any conference.
Right, yeah,
so you could.
Right,
that's why we play the game.
You're right.
Let's pencil Andre in for 3 years from now. We gotta have him. He's too smart.
Maybe
too smart. Too quick, too smart.
He's too good for our
dumb
brains.
You got to dummy it down there a little bit, Andre.
All right, no doubt. Hey, we're going to have a special pick, but quickly, Bama and Arkansas, how do you think that's going to go?
Well, Alabama looks great this season. You know, I keep saying, you know, we always hear next man up, and so we've had some losses on defense, and I think those guys have stepped in and filled in quite really well. Again, Alabama is going to be way too much for Arkansas. This is I think this is a special team. A couple years ago, we won a national championship, and I think we had a team of overachievers. I don't think anybody kind of predicted that.
Yep, you're right.
Coach Saban would be the first one that kind of acknowledged that. This team is truly special, and I think Alabama all the way.
Okay. Ooh. All right, look, special pick with Southern Miss. You know, your alma mater. So let's talk about that a little bit. UTEP at Southern Miss.
Right.
Miners.
I talked about that great atmosphere down there in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. You know, UTEP's got a new coach. Struggled through, Western Kentucky struggled with that game with them last week. Were they able to pull off that?
Sure did.
You know, Southern Miss, those Golden Eagles are going to fly high, and they're going to soar all over the rock. And
to the top.
And M.M. Roberts Stadium is going to be a great atmosphere, and I got, you know, those Golden Eagles all the way. By the way, a little Southern Miss trivia for you, a little college football trivia. You guys know who caught Brett Favre's first collegiate touchdown pass?
Chris McGee.
Chris McGee.
Whoa!
Hey, Andrew Deere.
I cheated. I've heard I've heard that trivia question before.
So yeah, one of my good friends down there in Hattiesburg.
Chris McGee. Chris McGee not too long ago.
Right, he's long time facilities coordinator there at the pain center at Southern Miss at the rec.
Soft
center
hands apparently too.
Yeah.
Huh?
Retired a couple years ago, but absolutely. That's your Jeopardy college football Jeopardy question there.
Oh man, that's good.
That's
if you're ever in Hattiesburg and doing college football trivia, there's your answer.
There's your answer. Chris McGee.
Don't say we haven't educated.
That's my go-to.
That's good. That's good.
I tell you, well, Andre, it's been great having you. I think you might hope you'll hang around just for our next segment. We're going to do a kind of a crazy segment here called Leadership Reps and Other Craziness in College Football. So if you can hang with us for just
absolutely
a little while.
Thank you guys for having me. It's always great being on the show.
Anytime. Great and by that, I mean in 5 years.
5 years.
Right. All right, let's take a short break. You're listening to Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone.
Hey, this is Will Gamble, and you're listening to 90.7 The Capstone.
Welcome back to Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone. Really excited to have Andre Love with us in here today, Executive Director of University of Recreation. He just made his picks. A few of them were fearless. A few of them were not. but we will see how those play out. I might regret that one. But this segment, we want to have a little bit of fun. Butch Jones is at it again, talking about leadership reps and the champions of life. A part of the craziness that's been going on with college football. Mark, you wanted to really talk about this segment. Before I get into Butch Jones,
talk about
what's going on.
Mark's got the intel from the Tennessee boards. Right. So Mark's been on the message boards.
Talk about Go Vols Extra.
He's a paid user of GoVols.com or whatever.
You guys know I'm obsessed Vol Nation. And I, any Bama fan who wants a few laughs, go to VolNation.com, okay? And don't sue me, Vol Nation, okay?
Right.
I said it before, it's one of the best college football fan sites in the country. They really do a good job with it. It's very comprehensive. They have news, and then they have all these forums, and it's really professionally done. And they monitor it so that try to keep people from, making too outrageous claims. And all
people
that.
Like you.
But yeah, like
they
me,
try to
right?
keep people
right?
like you off.
Right. They try to keep trolls like
Bama,
me off.
Bama Mark over here.
Right. But it is melting down regarding Butch mm-hmm. Jones. They're harder on him than we are.
Right.
I mean, they are, there are threads on there about him that there's some threads about Bama, too. One of them is like, it'll murder coming in Tuscaloosa or something. It's like craziness. And how, 70 to nothing. And we should, some of them are saying we should forfeit the game. That's better than losing 70 to nothing, but Jones just keeps making these crazy statements. Andrew, I saw your tweet this week on leadership. Like, you're doing leadership reps now at UREC.
Right.
I want
y'all to know I was getting in some leadership reps this week. Been working really hard. Wanted to mention that while my boss was in
right.
here today.
It helps.
But I will say, one of my buddies texted me this week and said, Butch Jones seems like he's in a bad comedy movie. And he plays a bad actor as a coach that's in a bad comedy movie. That's kind of the things he says after the champions of life. And now leadership reps. I would love to defend him. I would love for him to win football games at the University of Tennessee. I grew up a Tennessee fan. I grew up seeing Peyton Manning and T. Martin and all those guys in Neyland Stadium. But at this point, it's really, really hard to. The only way – you don't fix it by saying leadership reps. You don't fix it by being champions of life. You fix it by winning football games and not getting blown out to Georgia, who has a pretty good football team this year. But it's the craziness of the SEC. As we look at the coaching landscape of the SEC, there's not many schools that really love their coach right now.
No.
Besides maybe Auburn, Alabama, and Mississippi State.
It's kind of interesting to see, but coaches and quarterbacks. I don't think the SEC has either one of them in most of the programs.
Right.
They don't have strong coaches that they love, and they don't have quarterbacks that they love.
Right, which historically has not been the case.
No.
I guess 5 years ago, even last year, a couple of years ago, the SEC was absolutely hands down the best conference, and now it seems like they're down, and we'll only really know more about that when it comes to the bowl games and how that plays out. So that's my rant about Butch Jones. I think he's a nice guy. He's really put that program on the upward slope. He's recruited well, but as we all know, nice guys don't win football games, and it's all about wins, which is unfortunate for him at this point.
What's strange to me is that this is who they thought they were going to get when they hired Butch Jones, right? Like, this is not a sudden craziness.
No.
I mean, this is the kind of shtick that he had beforehand, so they willingly hired him to be their coach based on this stuff, and I'll bet you this kind of crazy stuff works with recruiting.
Yeah.
But it plays a lot. It works pretty well in a living room with a kid and mom and dad in the room, but it plays crazy in the media if you're losing games. And I'll give them a – getting blown out by Georgia is bad, obviously, but they probably should have lost to Georgia, not by what they did. But some of these other games they should have won. And so he's got to win the games that he should win first and then even get to the games that may be a challenge. But – I don't know that he's moving
forward. You can't lose by 40 to Georgia, period, at home.
No, there's just no reason for anybody to do that.
And I think we haven't talked about it much, but Georgia's a very, very good football team.
I think they're fine, but I don't think they're 40 points better than any.
And also, just the week before, they nearly lost to UMass, which is one of the worst teams in America.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
UMass not only is 0-7 or 0-6 now, they got the week after Tennessee. They got blown out by some nobody.
Destroyed.
But they are really not a good football team, and they nearly beat Tennessee in Knoxville. Mm-hmm. So, and the fans, the Tennessee fans, do know their football. Andrew, I'll give you that on the Vol fans.
There
they do know. They support the team. But all of a sudden, you know, this week there were notes from the from athletic department, you know, encouraging. You know, going and loosening the restrictions on how many tickets students can get, trying to get them back into the stadium.
And I think that's one of the most impressive things. Tennessee continues to fill the stadium with, you know, even though
to watch
a bad product, period. Yeah. And this is Butch Jones's, 10th or 11th year as a head coach total with Central Michigan and Cincinnati. So it's interesting how it's played out. And not to take anything away, it's really hard to win in the SEC East. You know, and it's not the mid-90s like it used to be for Tennessee.
Is it really that hard to win in the SEC East?
Well,
I mean.
No, you're right.
I mean, as far as this year compared to 5 years ago, you've got South Carolina down, Florida down, Georgia on the swing back up. But the great – I think all these SEC East teams will look back in 10 years and say, man, we really missed our window to make a run to the SEC championship because – while the West has been relatively stable, you've got Missouri and you've got all these teams that have shown up in that game. And because nobody – Florida and Georgia not being where they could be, it's not the mid-90s anymore.
Right.
Spurrier's not there. And these people aren't winning 10 games a year, 11 games a year really in the East right now. And not because it's these great battles. It's because they're losing stinkers.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Those stinkers.
And, you know, I'm no Vol fan, obviously, but I think it's good for the conference when they have a good team. Mm-hmm. I don't like to see them this bad. You know,
I agree.
I think I don't know quite how they got this bad. Jones has recruited pretty well.
Yeah, and the last time they were in at Bryant-Denny, I was sitting with Andre at the game, actually, and we were watching the game, and I was agonizing. I was in my Bama polo. I was working the game, having a great time. Obviously wanted Bama to, you know, to win, to go to the national championship and all that. But, you know, the deep down inside, I grew up a Tennessee fan, and it was hard. So, you know, I think it won't be as hard this year because it's probably going to be a bloodbath.
Maybe. I mean, you know, we'll know a little bit more tonight after today, period, where Tennessee's playing South Carolina and Bama's playing Arkansas, and we'll kind of see the direction those teams are going. That's why the South Carolina-Tennessee game is really interesting to me because let's see what kind of team is Tennessee – going to field? Have they just given up, you know, on the year?
That's what's got to be tough.
Or are they going to come back today and actually look well? You know, Andre picked South Carolina, and I think I may be heading that direction too. So,
well, you know, there's a lot of despair on that sideline when you're watching those games.
And that's the thing.
Oh,
It's one thing for the fan base and for the media and everybody to be against Butch, but the sideline and the locker room, that's really where the story is told. And if those guys aren't along with Butch for the ride, then it could get ugly really fast, and it can be something that's really bad for the program and puts them in a tough spot because we know financially they're with Butch. They can't pay a third coach for three more years, and they don't have that kind of money, and that would be a bloodbath for them too, paying them off. And so they got to live with it for a while. And if you lose the team in mid-October, it's a long way, and you end up not bowl eligible, and you got a lot of issues.
You think a uniform change would help them?
You know, I think those smoky grays have been – they look cool, but they haven't won, right, in smoky grays?
No,
they've
won.
Did they wear them a couple weeks
ago? They're 2-1. This is the third year they've worn them. They beat Florida in them. No, excuse me. They beat Georgia in them, then they beat Florida in them, and then they got trounced by Georgia. So they're 2-1.
Maybe could they change the shade of orange?
Right.
That's why he looks so sick.
No, we're not going to go there, Mark.
There we go. Okay.
You're right.
Maybe do a little Texas burn orange. You know?
Everybody who's on Vol Nation, Bama Mark is his name.
No,
I'm kidding.
No.
It's true.
Yeah, he's the guy that's attacking you guys on.
Yeah, I know, and I already want to apologize for that. Just, all you Vol fans, really. Like I said, I respect Tennessee's program, and I you know, it's been a great rivalry, and we'll talk about it in next week's show with the third Saturday in October. But it's a great rivalry, and I want Tennessee to do better. I really do. I hope they'll get the program better. I don't think they're going to get it with Butch Jones.
So. Yeah, it's a problem. Things are better for all of us if they're stronger in the East, but.
Yeah,
it's,
sure.
It's fun to be in.
Yeah.
All right, enough of this madness. Let's take a short break, and we'll be back with Andre Love and all of us with our guest picks, and let's see how we do compared to Andre, see if he's more fearless than us. You're listening to Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone. We'll be back with Fearless Picks.
Hi, I'm Sarah Patterson, and you're listening to the Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone.
Welcome back to the Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone. We've heard Andre Love's picks. Now we're going to make some picks of our own. Let's start with Florida State at Duke. Adam, I'm going to let you take this one right off the bat.
I think Florida State's going to win this game. And that's all I have to say.
That's it. We're
done.
I know. Things aren't good in Tallahassee.
I listened to the end of that Miami game in a parked car on a street in Birmingham as we were going somewhere else. And we were just huddled in the car. And we just knew as soon as they left that much time on the clock, we're like, oh, there's an L.
That's tough. That's tough.
Yep.
That's
how it goes.
Yeah.
Mark, where are you at?
I'm going Florida State, too, though. I think they got enough to take care of Duke. And I think. You know, Florida State's got the athletes. They'll win the game.
I'm going to go with Duke. I'm on, even though they took an L last week against Virginia, I'm going with the Dukies, and I feel like that's not a crazy pick.
I don't think
so.
No,
it's not crazy.
You know, I'm a big Cutcliffe guy. I say it every single week in here. Next game, we've talked about Tennessee enough this week, but we have South Carolina at Tennessee. Mark, what are your thoughts on actually a pretty tough pick?
I'm going with Andre Love. I'm going South Carolina. I think Tennessee's so down right now. And South Carolina's, you know, they beat Arkansas last week pretty badly. And
yeah.
You never know with Muschamp and what kind of team they're going to put on the field. This game's going to get ugly, but I'll go with South Carolina.
I've gone back and forth on this, and clearly Mark has as well. And I didn't submit a pick on this one until now because I'm not really sure. I think it being at Tennessee, and Tennessee may have the power to pull it together for one game, but I think I'm going to go Tennessee. I think they pull it out, which just makes it 2% more appealing next week's game,
right.
I guess, because
yeah.
they beat
yeah.
South Carolina, but that's about it.
I think
then
we all
waxed.
Want Tennessee to win
yeah.
this game for next
yeah,
week.
Yeah, I think so, to help us.
I'm going Tennessee, even though I gave them a hard
Shocker.
Time earlier.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Out of nowhere,
right.
Andrew goes Tennessee.
I think they – we'll see how tough they are if they can really band together after, you know, everyone being down on them. Staying with the 11 a.m. game, we have TCU at Kansas State, the Battle of the Purples. Adam?
This
give
game's
me, give me
got
shots.
Fox Sports 1 written all over it. This will be a poorly covered game on Fox.
Yep.
The purple will look awful. I'd like to think Bill Snyder's guys can pull this off. Every once in a while they pull off one of these games in Little Manhattan, but I don't think this is the week. I think the Horned Frogs are pretty good this year, and I think they're going to keep winning, and the rest of the Big 12 is likely going to fall away. So I'm going to take TCU on the road.
Speaking of Fox Sports, they use the NFL music for college football. It just drives me crazy.
It's a different game. That stupid football robot.
Like, it's an atrocity, isn't it, Mark?
It is an atrocity. Get some new material.
Yep.
You know, college football is a big sport. It deserves its own music. You know,
right.
So, I'm going with TCU too, and I think I don't think it's going to be close. Even though it's at Kansas State, I think TCU runs away with
sure.
this.
Horned Frogs for sure. I agree. Michigan at Indiana. Should be exciting. Michigan coming off a tough loss last week. The Khaki Lord. Mark, talk to us about what Harbaugh's got going on for Indiana this week.
Well, I don't know. Adam tweeted something about from the Onion that was so funny about the night vision and a spotting of Harbaugh in the stadium at 2:30 in the morning, I noticed, pointing at the camera and everything. And it just – you know, Harbaugh in the wild, which is a horrible thought. Anyway, I think the Khaki Lord goes in there and wins this game. Indiana actually, as I recall, has a fairly decent offense, but Michigan will get back and win this one.
Yeah, I don't think this is an interesting game at all.
Not at
I
all.
Think Michigan wins against Indiana. Indiana's a better team than they have been in the past, but not good enough to beat Michigan for sure.
Absolutely. Michigan all the way after the tough loss last week. Last 11 a.m. game we're going to pick here, we have the NC State Wolfpack.
A traditional ACC rivalry.
Yeah. Adam, you actually last year, now that I see this, were really high on Pitt.
I was.
You talked a lot about Pitt last year, so I'm going to let you run with this one.
So sometimes I talk a lot about Pitt. This is not going to be one of those times. NC State's going to beat them in Pittsburgh, and it's a pretty decent NC State team, I think, in the ACC this year, but Pittsburgh's going to lose.
There you go. Mark?
Yeah, I'm going NC State. NC State's got it rolling, and, you know, they beat Louisville, they beat Florida State. This is a good football team, and they're better than Pitt. So,
yeah.
Although Pitt's it's a good program.
But well, I was wrong last year. Pittsburgh was bad last year, too.
Yeah. The only thing Pittsburgh's got going for them is those throwback jerseys with the navy blue and yellow.
Yep.
Those are really good. The matte helmets
are pretty good, too. Their matte helmets work better than most teams.
Right. As we know, jerseys don't win football games.
They don't.
That's for sure.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. So I'm going NC State as well.
2:30 in the SEC, big game, Auburn at LSU. I think we're going to be split on this one. What do you got, Mark?
I'm fearlessly. I almost changed my mind on this because of Andre talking about how bad LSU's program is. It's true. I mean, I think this is wishful thinking on my part. But I'm picking LSU. I'm picking the home team, and I'm picking them for one reason. Well, two reasons. One, they're home. Mm-hmm. Which, of course, I got beat by Troy at home, and two.
True story.
True.
I'm trying to talk myself out of this.
Sounds like it.
Especially after hearing
Andre. Andre has really rattled you, Mark.
That's two weeks
really
in a row.
Totally guest pickers rattled your cage.
Now we're really learning why Andre hasn't been invited back. He is like Mark's kryptonite.
He's got too much good information. There's no doubt. But the and he knows his football. I mean, you know, he's an official in football. He totally intimidating, Andre. Sorry.
Does not go hand in hand, I tell you.
Right. If you were an official, you probably wouldn't let Auburn play the game at all out of all the cheating.
But, I'm picking LSU. The other reason is I think they might have gotten some crazy confidence in that win at the Swamp last week. Although it was a pretty ugly game. But I'm picking LSU, and mainly because I'd love to see the Gus Bus run into the bayou and turn over down there.
I think Auburn's going to win this game. I disagree. I think Auburn actually is at the point in the season where they realize they control their own destiny. They're a better football team than LSU. As we know, that always doesn't work out. Mm-hmm. But I think they go down there and take care of business and maybe a little uglier game than we expect. Okay.
Let me just say that I just said I want to see the Gus Bus run into the bayou. I don't mean that literally, okay? They're flying to the game.
The figurative
Gus Bus. Okay. There you go.
So I want LSU to win, but I think Auburn's going to win. Your comment almost made me change, Andrew, because you said this is a time of the season Auburn realized they choose their own destiny, but that's normally when they also like fall over themselves.
You're right. I'm giving them way too much credit here.
This is in our realm of possibility, and let's tank three games. So I think Auburn's going to win, though. I think there's just too much of a mess, like Andre said at LSU.
Well, and LSU's got a chance. Remember the turnover game. And
right.
And ball security is going to be key for Auburn in this game.
So. No doubt. Whew.
Dropping more knowledge, Andre.
I know.
Georgia Tech at Miami, nice guy versus the triple option, and Paul Johnson is not a very nice guy.
No.
Good coach, kind of a rough around the edges guy, but I'm going to take Miami winning. I think Georgia Tech may give them some issues in the first half, but they'll pull away because they've got a little bit more discipline at Miami now than they used to, and that's the name of the game, beating triple option. What about you guys?
I've also got Miami. Not really super excited about this game, but I'm gonna take the Hurricanes.
I'm going Miami too. I think they're after the win over Florida State. I think they got confidence. They're on pretty much a roll down there. Yep. Georgia Tech's tough because of that offense, that rushing game. But I think Miami just simply outscores them.
Oklahoma, Texas. I've got Oklahoma. I don't think Texas is enough quite yet. What about you guys?
Definitely Oklahoma.
Yeah, Oklahoma, me too.
All right.
My namesake, Mayfield's going to –
they're rallying. They're circling the wagons.
Big comeback. Gosh,
see what it did
week.
There?
That's good. That's really impressive, Andrew. What do you got, Clever, for Purdue at Wisconsin? Try that one. Boilermaker versus Bucky Badger.
I've got Cheese versus the Train.
Yeah, there you go.
There we go.
I think Bucky Badger wins. You know I love Jeff Brohm, the coach of Purdue, high-powered offense, but Wisconsin, too much for them. And I'm pretty sure Wisconsin's a really big favorite in this game, even though Purdue is improved. But definitely Wisconsin.
Yeah, me too. Wisconsin.
Yeah, Badger. Me too. I'm going all Kurds. Yep. Vandy at Ole Miss. This is a game.
They're going to play this game.
This is a game.
It's on the schedule.
It's going to happen. It's going to have four quarters, and it'll end with 0-0 on the clock.
George Brown took Vandy on the road. Yep. Little known fact.
I think I'm taking Vandy on the road. Yeah.
Andrew Deere.
Fearless pick. Hey, the show is called Fearless Picks.
It is.
The Skybox. You know, we're in the Skybox today, and so I'm going Vandy.
I'm going with the it's the Land Sharks now. I'm going Land
Sharks.
There
you go.
Yep. I'm going Ole Miss because they are at home and they've got an offense, and I think they'll win this game probably 28 to 21.
There you go.
I've got this game on my schedule today as the post homecoming parade nap. And I'm still going to take Ole Miss, but I'm going to be asleep. Navy at Memphis is also a game happening. I'm taking Memphis. I think we're all Memphis here.
Tigers.
Andrew, you got anything crazy?
Tigers for sure.
All right. Take us to 6 o'clock.
All right, Texas A&M at Florida. This is a good football game. Who you guys got?
I think
Andre chose Florida in this game.
I'm chomping at the bit.
See
what I did there?
Yeah, I like that. Hey, we're hitting our stride.
Yeah, we are. It's good.
I think A&M. I hope this is not fool's gold for me picking A&M, but they're obviously the better football team. Florida is in shambles. I don't care what anybody says. After watching them week after week not play good football, they finally got bit in the butt last week. I know we gave a shout-out to Jenna earlier, one of our favorites. But
and I'm certain she's listening right now.
Yeah, and I'm probably going to send it to her later.
No
so,
doubt.
But I got to go Texas A&M. And really, the jerseys is why.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Even if I wanted to pick Florida,
yeah,
you just can't pick them this week on principle. So
she just texted me. She heard you.
There you go. See, I'm going with my enemies in Alachua County to win at home. I think we broke Texas A&M. Much like we do most seasons, it takes them a while to get back, and I think they're going to go on the road and struggle against a bad Florida football team. And the uniforms are awful, but I think they get the win, as hard as that is for me to get out of my mouth.
That's a good point about it. There's been a track record of
a little
A&M
bit of a hangover,
just
right?
Just going crazy and losing everything after they lose to Bama. But I'm going to go with A&M. I just I think their offense is what carries the day here, that Florida has no offense to speak of, so I guess I'm going A&M. But it's an interesting game. It really is. I won't be watching because Bama will be on
right.
the same time, but I believe A&M wins it. Okay, switching to the Big Ten, Ohio State at Nebraska at 6:30. Who you guys got?
I think it's all Buckeyes.
Nebraska's
bad, and the Buckeyes seem to be clicking a little bit.
It's not 1995.
Yeah, it's not.
So,
Tom Osborne.
Buckeyes.
All right, and George Brown's Golden Gophers host Michigan State.
Hey,
who you got?
I want to say we gave Michigan State a pretty hard time last week, or maybe in the week before. We were wrong about them.
No doubt.
You know, shockingly, we were way off.
Yeah.
I think Michigan State wins at Minnesota.
Yep, I take Sparty, too.
I take Sparty as well, and I think George is taking Sparty, too,
yeah.
Even though he'll be at that game. All right, a big one out in L.A., Utah at USC at 7 p.m. this evening. Who you guys got?
Trojans.
Yeah, I'm going Trojans, too.
I'm Trojans, too. All right. Another Pac-12, UCLA at Arizona. And this game means nothing for us, but it's a tough pick, I think.
I agree. It's strange.
I have no idea. I think I'm going to go with Arizona. They're at home. You know, Rich Rodriguez.
Yep.
Is their coach.
So I originally was going UCLA, and I'm going Rich Rod as well.
I kind
of forgot when I wrote out UCLA that it was UCLA, and they have just been awful this year at meeting expectations.
Yeah.
And so I think I'm going to have to go with Rich Rod, which burns me 95% of the time.
Yeah.
Same here. I'm going Rich Rod, Arizona.
Getting late into the evening, we have a 9:30 p.m. Andre mentioned that he's excited to see Boise State at San Diego State.
Good
the
name.
Unbeaten San Diego State.
That's right.
Who do you guys got?
Well, I'm thrilled to learn about the outcome of this game at the 5:35 a.m. Sports Center, which I will catch the next morning rather than the actual game.
There we go.
So if you want to do that and watch some cartoons at my house, I'll let you know. But I'm going to take San Diego State here. I think they at home are going to pull out the win and run all over Boise State.
I also am taking the Aztecs.
So am I. That's a good football team. I'm going with the Aztecs.
There we go. We just keep getting later and later. 9:45 p.m. Washington. The playoff, you know, playoff hopes still in
playoffs.
The balance. at Arizona State. I'm going to go ahead and say I've got the Huskies. I think that defense is actually really solid, and Chris Peterson, him and his salty self, go into Tempe and take care of business.
Yeah, I don't think the Sun Devils have it. I think the Pac-12 is more interesting when Arizona and Arizona State can play some games. But this year, I think Washington's going to be clearly the favorite in this, and I think they're going to win pretty big on the road.
Yep, yep, I'm with you guys. I'm going Washington. I think they remain unbeaten.
And Pac-12 After Dark, super exciting game.
After Dark, this is like the next day.
Right.
Yeah. 10 p.m. No. Yeah. Good Lord, it's been dark for like 5 hours.
24-hour of college football.
This game will be open like 2 a.m. Yeah. Over about 2 a.m. Doing. Crazy.
Adam won't even see kickoff for this. It's at 10 p.m.
No, but I may wake up in the fourth quarter. If this goes into overtime, I'm going to wake up and have breakfast with it. Good heavens.
We have Oregon at Stanford. Another FS1 special for you, Adam.
It is.
I'm going to go ahead and take the tree.
You got all tree. I got all tree, too.
I'm tree, no doubt. They're going to win this game, I think.
It's going to be a great image of that weird Fox football robot with a tree or something.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
There's going to be some high scoring, I think, in this game.
Yep, lots of points.
Right. Now, the main platter here, 6:15 p.m., we have Arkansas at Alabama. I know we've talked about it. We're all excited. It's always fun when the SEC West opponent comes in here. I think we all agree that Alabama's going to win, but as Mark always loves to do, Mark, what is your score prediction? I know you have one.
Bama's going to kill this team.
Yeah.
I know Arkansas is physical and tough, and they'll beat you up. And Bama's going to win this 48-7.
That's 48-7.
Yeah, I don't know. It may be a little wishful thinking, but this is a good – Bama, after the A&M game, they're focused on this
Austin Allen, Arkansas's quarterback, coming in, obviously big expectations for him. He's been beaten up this year, not been protected. I think we really get after him this week and break them.
I think 30 –
they're already broken.
Right,
but.
Yeah, 31-10 maybe is what I'm going. But I think I've picked that score for every game this year so far, and I've been wrong.
Hey, consistency.
So I think it's a big win as well, and a fun homecoming evening, and it's nice to get a win over another SEC West opponent.
On homecoming.
On homecoming.
It's fun to have an SEC opponent on homecoming. I know that's the second time we've talked about it, but I think we can't say it enough. It's so much better than South Al or Troy or even
Mercer,
right, coming in here.
It's or Western out. Kentucky.
Or Western Kentucky.
Okay, guys.
Right.
Southern Miss.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, here
bunch
we go.
Bunch of Friday night teams.
All right, here we go.
So I do think, though.
Fair, very fair, though.
The Arkansas fans have always been nice, but the Suey stuff, it's really kind of
it's
tough to listen to in the stadium.
I know.
It's kind of brutal.
Yeah. I kind of like it.
That's not shocking, Andrew.
No. I like a little gimmicky action.
You do.
You know?
That's your home. And
have you ever been to Arkansas, Adam?
No, sir.
Okay. I was hoping you had some snack options for
us for
the week.
I'd suggest you go to the local grocery store and not go to Arkansas. Yeah, I apologize to our Arkansas market. I know that we're huge over there.
Adam.
Just lost Fayetteville.
We're
huge.
Little
Rock.
There we go.
Yeah,
it's tough.
Little Rock's a fine town. It's actually really great.
I will take your word for it.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see. I don't know.
What about a score, Andre? You got a score for the Bama game?
Ooh. Mark's at 48-7.
Yep.
I think I was thinking 42-3.
But okay. There we go.
48 is kind of a tough
number. That's a bloodbath.
That means we make a couple kicks.
Yeah,
that's true.
Old Papa Nasty.
I may have to rethink that.
Yeah, you may want to do your math, buddy. Divisible by 7. Maybe by 6 if we miss a PAT.
Yeah. Oh, all right. Well, we'll see.
Well, that's it, folks. Yeah. That's it for today's homecoming show. I hope all of you enjoy a great homecoming today and check out the parade and the game and everything else going on. And then go out to the stadium and have a great time tonight. Thanks to Andre Love for being such a great guest today. Also to Terry Siggers, the GM of the station who produces the show. Join us again next week, same time, same station, for Tennessee Week. You've been listening to Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone. Roll Tide, everybody.
Roll Tide.
Roll Tide.